I'm going to pray for us, and then we will begin. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for those who are in the room, and Lord, I pray that we would come and be willing to open our hearts to your word. I pray that we would come humbly and allow your word to convict us, for we know that we are not perfect people. So God, I pray that we would come in this morning, both in this hour and in the next, and we would be seeking a word from your word that would apply to our lives. Lord, we know that we have faults. We know that this week that we have fallen short. And we know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And so we praise you for that. We thank you for that. And God, now as we go into this lesson, I pray that it would be something that illumines a corner of our heart or a shadowy part of our life. And Lord, I pray that we would be more like your Son because of our time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Discipleship 101, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. is really the series that we're going to be starting here, and we're starting it on a Sunday morning. Now, the reason we're starting it on a Sunday morning is to be able to get some of those whose habit is not to come on Sunday nights, but to be able to see why this could be a really, really profitable and helpful series for you to listen to. Now, the Word of God, anytime it's shared, is profitable and helpful. But I want us to look at this morning, and I want us to consider how it is that we can apply these things to our lives. You have notes in front of you, and these are from the Biblical Counseling Center Foundation's curriculum. I'm just going to read through what you see on your front page under Ezekiel 34, and you can just follow along with me. Thus says the Lord God, "Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." Now what we find is a good shepherd that comes in the New Testament. And we know him to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he says that these are the examples that I leave for you, that you would live in the way that I live, so that they would know that I am true, that I am real, so that you would be able to be a disciple and make disciples. So in our church, our mission statement is that we would exist to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. That's why we exist. That's why God gives you breath. That's why God gives me breath. Is that we would exist, live every day, be given what we are given every day to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. That's a public consensus of why we're here today. And so on Sunday mornings for this Sunday and next Sunday and then Sunday evenings through the spring, we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be talking about it in a principled way. So not in a way that is expository, but in a way that is gleaning from all of Scripture. What does it look like to be a disciple maker? How do we gain those attributes? How do we point to specific truth to be able to strengthen our confidence in having redemptive conversations? How do we encourage discipleship among one another? I honestly like that much better. That's a little more comfortable for me. And so what I'm here to do this morning is to start that journey with you in growing in confidence in redemptive conversations. How do you stay consistent in the conversation with society and psychology and science? I was just born that way. That's just my personality. I was just diagnosed with bipolar and I'm on medication. How do we have those redemptive conversations compassionately and intelligently and spiritually. That's what I want us to walk through together. How many of us are in discipleship relationships? How many of us are not in discipleship relationships because of the things that we fear? And what we want to do through the Biblical Counseling Center, through the Word of God, is that we want to grow your confidence in redemptive conversations. And so the question that is before us, what would you attempt to do if you knew that you could not fail? What would you do if you knew that you would not fail? What are some of the things that might pop into your mind and you would say, well, I would definitely try skiing. I would definitely try to sell a painting. I would definitely try to exercise. But really, guys, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, you're asking the wrong question if this is the question. For to love is to be vulnerable to heartbreak. To begin an exercise program is to probably fall into laziness. And so we don't live, we don't really experience what it is that Christ would have us to do in a discipleship capacity if we only see those things that we cannot succeed at and then don't do those. And so I'd have you take a second and ponder this next question. What's worth doing even if you fail? What's worth heading into with gusto and with excitement and with confidence, even though you know that it might not end the way that you think it might end? What is it in your life that is worth doing that? Because frankly, that is where life is lived. The adventure of life is lived in the place where you need to depend on Jesus Christ for everything. And so many of us, from the front to the back, do not live there. We live in that first question. We just want to do what we know we can do safely. And what we will be doing over the next couple of Sunday mornings and then through the Sunday nights is I want to help build your confidence in having those adventurous, redemptive conversations for the glory of God, because it's the only reason that any of us exist. And we have gone too long not feeding the sheep, not being like our good shepherd. This is not just for the pastors. This is not just for the counseling center. This is for every disciple of Jesus Christ who is to be more like him. And so that's what we're going to try to equip you to do. We don't want to push you out there to just have to go and have more uncomfortable conversations. We really want to help you to be confident in those redemptive conversations. And so we will talk about all different kinds of ways to do that biblically. And so that's what we're doing here together. As we do that, I want us to see that there is a very simple outline that we can follow through the notes that you have. So you can turn over, if you would like to the back of the first page. As we get into more and more of the conversations, how do we rightly see emotions? How do we have a rich theology of fear and anger, shame and guilt, depression? How do we stay in conversation, again, in the eyes of science and society and psychology? What is the model for a family, both in parenting and in marriage? When you get into those conversations and you go out with confidence, how do you stay engaged in the conversation? How do you read people's body language in a way? How do you pick up on certain verbal markers? How do you stay in those conversations through homework and accountability? Those are all things we're going to be talking about on Sunday nights. Today is just a call for us to consider whether that is worth trying. Even if we fail, even if we need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, is that worth trying? That's the question to consider today. And so today, as we go through this, we're wanting to live with faith. We're wanting to live that adventurous Christian life that many of us understand we're not living. We want to do it with compassion. We want to do it with mercy. We want to do it with honesty and truth and unity. But we want to do it with boldness. And we want to do it so that Jesus Christ is high and lifted up. He is the only way to God. He is the only way to eternal life. And so, really, I'm just going to go through three steps. One is that we would be involved. We'll see that as we go through. Three steps. I want us to be involved. I want you to be involved. I want us to boldly speak. And then finally, I want us to balance responsibility. So one is be involved. Two, boldly speak. And three, balance responsibility. That's the first step. Are you willing to try that, even though it's a little scary, even though you might need to rely on the guidance of Jesus Christ, on the strength of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to speak into other people's lives? And I'm not even talking about the lives of people who are outside of this building today. Maybe just one another. Maybe you could just encourage one another. And so let's go through this very quick outline. And I want us to consider this statement that we would see in the notes under the Good Samaritan principle. We're all very familiar with that story of the Good Samaritan. It's really surprisingly short when we come to what the Good Samaritan did. But this is a statement that we need to consider. When it comes to caring for souls, do you feel any responsibility? Or would you rather that each man fend for himself? This is a question that we should just honestly ask ourselves when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to being in those interesting and tricky conversations. Are we interested in that other person? Do we feel a responsibility, or do we hope that they would find it on their own, and would they just be able to rely on themselves? So turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Our passages today are going to be Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6. I try to say those in a way that you can maybe remember, right? We're going to go to Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6. Luke 10, Luke 6, Galatians 6. That's really the things that you would be studying, and then there are other verses as well. As we go to Luke chapter 10, these are principles that we would need to rely on God's Spirit, on His leading, to be able to have us to do, remembering Him, remembering it's hard, remembering it's uncomfortable, but then doing that thing in faith. Doing that thing because Jesus Christ is worth it. The glory of God is worth it. And so I'll read a very familiar portion of the scripture in Luke chapter 10, verse 33 is where I'll start for the sake of our time. He says, but a Samaritan, and anytime we hear but or therefore or however, we should look back and we understand there were already a couple of people that had went past him. And so now he comes along, this Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay when I come back. And so just out of this, we can biblically understand there are principles about getting involved. The first one, very simply, is if we see something, we do something. So we're going through the world. We're just going on our way. We're just on our journey. We're not looking for trouble. We're not looking for investment in people. But something presents itself to us. The biblical principle that we would understand out of this very important parable. In fact, Jesus would say it this way. When someone says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gets into a conversation with this man. And Jesus replies whenever he says that basically I need to be living in a way that I'm loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. And Jesus says, you're right. But then he, that one who was speaking, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied this parable. So in the context of how do you gain eternal life, Jesus gives us this parable of we see something, we do something. We care enough about those who are made in the image of God. We care enough about those who are going down a path of destruction and hurting themselves or being hurt by somebody else. And we care enough about the image of God in them that we do something. We don't do what is in the book of James and say, go be warm and filled and then go along our way. But we invest in them. This is just from the Good Samaritan. He then pulls out the denarii, he pulls out his animal, he pulls out his oil, all very valuable things, and he invests them on this one. If you're interested in living a life of a disciple, to know God and to make others know God more accurately, when you see something, you need to do something. There are people in this room right now who know of situations in other people's lives. And because they don't have the time or the energy or the confidence to go into those conversations, we're not doing something. We're not doing what the Good Samaritan would do. We're not doing what Ezekiel, through the Lord, would call us to do. And we don't want to be here and just tell you to do something more. We want to be here and equip you to do the work of ministry, to do the work of having those conversations. Are you open to the possibility of getting involved? When you see something, you do something. It's going to take an investment on your part. And then the third component to this is that you follow up. We see that in verse 35. Verse 35 of the word says this, and the next day he took out these two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. So often we think that once we have put our finger in the pie of a problem that we can just go away and it'll take care of itself. And if we're going to be disciple makers, if we're going to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to have us that we are praying for one another. And in that prayer, we're interested to see how that thing is going, and we're going to follow up with that person. We're going to get into a relationship. We're going to get into a common conversation. This is not a track from the car. This is not just a witnessing opportunity, and all those things are very, very good. But what I'm talking about is that we are existing to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. And we don't want you to have to do that on your own. We want us to be able to do that in unity. We want you to be able to do that in confidence. And so we're wanting to equip you on Sunday mornings for the next 2 weeks and then on Sunday nights for the spring. Because this is really, really important. Somebody shared Christ with you. When you were on your way headlong into an eternity without God and without hope, somebody shared Christ with you. Please remember that. Please remember it was not your own intelligence, it was not your own merit that got you into a place of having confidence in your salvation. Please remember that. Please remember at one time you too were lost. And now there are all these people who are sort of extras and background characters in our own play, in our own show, of which we are the center, and then we have our main cast around us. And there are those who are going by us every day. And if we just lift our eyes to look, we would see that there are those too that can be saved by his grace. It's really important. And so are you willing to get involved? The second thing that I want us to see, if we are interested in living this adventurous life of a disciple of Jesus Christ, is that we must boldly speak. Because God will use our compassionate and bold truth to help the struggling gain perspective. God uses compassionate and bold truth to help the struggling gain perspective. Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6. That's what we'll be studying together just over the next couple days. If you would like to go back into the notes and read some of the other materials, we have a couple think about it opportunities that we will, as we go into Sunday nights, use for discussion and those types of things as well. but we boldly speak. So go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 6, just a couple pages. Luke chapter 6. Again, we're dealing with principles here. I'm not expounding the scriptures, but we're going in and we're saying, if we're going to be able to take a principle to be able to grow in our confidence and in our clarity of what we're to do in discipleship and redemptive conversations, I want us to see that we are going to come across many different types of people. We'll find this in Paul's writings. We'll find this in Peter's writings. And we find it here today, just in the writings of Jesus Christ, in the words of Jesus Christ. And so we look at Luke chapter 6. Verse 22, he says, blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and they revile you, and they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. We will come into opportunity where we just hear something that is so heartbreaking and is so unfair and is so discouraging that humankind would live like that. What will you say? What will you say to those in California, the 13 children and the two parents? What will those children be told? A heartbreaking situation of isolation and of torture. There's absolutely nothing that we can say in a condemning way. And we have to be very careful in the way that we address that, even in a God way, even in a way of sovereignty, even in a way of a perfect plan of a God who knows all and is over all. We need to be very, very careful. But we are called to speak to those who innocently suffer. And if you lack confidence in that, please come back on Sunday nights. We want to walk through that with you. We want to give you confidence to be able to have that very hard, very important conversation. We don't want you to do it on your own. We're not asking you to do it on your own. He also speaks to those who are making sinful choices. You see this in Matthew chapter 20, or chapter 6, verse 24. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are now full. Woe to you who laugh now. Woe to you when all people speak well of you. And he's saying some of you in the room, some of us from front to back, are making choices to enjoy this life and everything in it and not giving a care about the people around us. Not giving a care about the ministry of Jesus Christ. They're putting all of their confidence and all of their enjoyment and all of their labor into having bigger barns and having more things. And that might be some of us in here today. And there's a warning from the Lord Jesus Christ that says you ought not to live like that. You shouldn't store up treasures on earth. I hope that sounds familiar. Jesus is very consistent when he says to care for the poor and to, as James would say, care for the fatherless and care for the widows. And so if we are turning our backs on that, if we are finding our highest enjoyment and investment in the things of the world, we need to have hard conversations with one another. We need to have hard conversations with the people who are around us. If you lack confidence in being able to have that conversation, please come on Sunday nights. We don't want you to do that on your own, but we think it's very important that you do that. And so we want to equip you. And then finally, those who are seeking answers, who are genuinely seeking answers. Jesus then goes into what we understand is the Sermon on the Mount, only here in Luke. And he goes into really this commentary on how we are to live our lives. And so we come to the Lord Jesus and we say, how do you want me to live? I want to live for you. I know I'm going to fall short. I know I'm going to fail, but you are worth trying. And I know I'm going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit. I know I'm going to have to rely on the power of Jesus Christ in me, but I want to do that. And so he says, I say to you who hear. That's a really important phrase, who hear, who have ears to hear, who have hearts that are open. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And we go on and on and on. And so as we grow in our confidence, we need to be able to find ourselves having an open posture, having good listening skills, having an eye to see the ones who are around us who are drooping their head or who are isolating themselves or who are masking through confidence or arrogance. We'll talk about all that on Sunday nights. How do you do that? How do you spot that? How do you address that? What's the root theology of that? We want to equip you to be able to help the people who are around you. And so we're going to boldly speak. And then finally, you can see in your notes that we're going to balance responsibility. The entire last page is given to this because it really is a tricky, tricky situation. I was having a conversation with a man the other day, and he said that his daughters, now growing into adulthood, are making bad choices. And he says they're driving cars without insurance, and they don't think they're going to get caught, and they're not getting jobs. They're just having their parent that they're now with take care of them, or they're just not paying the bills. And he said, you know what? I worked 3 jobs when I was a kid. I worked 70 hours a week when I was raising them. I gave them everything that they ever needed. I never made them lift a finger. And I said, you know what? That was your problem. You never raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, letting them understand the way that the world works, that a man ought to work if he's going to eat. Now, there is this investment that we all have to have. Parent, you're not doing your child any favors by not telling them no. King David, Priest Eli would tell you the same. And so how do we balance that responsibility? Because the scripture is very clear. Now in Galatians 6, go ahead and turn over there if you're not there already. Galatians 6, he says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. And so we need to see that there is a shared burden principle. We are to come alongside. We are to pick up our brothers. We are to restore or to set that broken bone in their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to do that. We are to be investing, right? We saw that as we're getting involved. There is an investment that is to be made. And so if God brings people into our path who are struggling with life and sin, we have an opportunity to show Christ's love by helping lighten the burden they face. So we ought to be compassionate. We ought to be merciful. We ought to be open with our homes and with our goods. And the most valuable commodity in this body is our time. We ought to be valuable, or we ought to share the most valuable commodity, and that is our time. And then likewise, on the other side, there is this burden of responsibility that needs to be borne by the individual. In fact, you actually hurt others when you allow them to be irresponsible because their burden is so light. The Proverbs would say that you hate your child if you withhold rebuke or if you withhold correction. So now, how do we disciple in that understanding with those principles? How do we do that? Well, this is that shared responsibility. One, I believe that we have a responsibility to be spiritual. I don't think it's a good excuse to say, you know what, I just don't know what to say. You know what, I really didn't study that when I was going to Bible college, so I'm really not sure I can invest in that person. I can't really be involved. Be more spiritual. Be more studied. And I don't want to come across as flat or as arrogant or as hard. But if this book and if people are the most important things in this world, if we're to love God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength, and if we're to love others in that commandment that's like unto it as ourselves, we have no excuse. We have a responsibility to be spiritually informed and understanding people. We have a responsibility to read our Bibles. You have a responsibility to train your kids. You have a responsibility to be open and aware to the people around you. You have a responsibility because of the Holy Spirit that is within you. And because you're representing, you are this representative, this ambassador of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 would tell you that. And so we have a responsibility to grow in confidence in redemptive conversations. We have a responsibility to do that. If you'd like to grow in that confidence, come back on Sunday nights. We want to equip you. We don't want you to do it alone. But then also, we need to humbly help. So we need to make sure that we are spiritual, then we need to humbly help. If we look at verses 1 through 3, there's this really interesting thing that comes in verse 2 and then in verse 3. It says, in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then a confusing phrase, it says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And really, what this is doing is this is categorizing, or this is framing verse 2 in what I believe is a chiastic type of a structure. A structure that says what this is all about in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we need to do that humbly. We need to do that examining ourselves, not thinking that we are something. So coming in and saying, I can't believe you did that again. You got yourself into this mess. You're going to get yourself out. If you ever do that again, I'm not helping you. We do not speak to one another in that way. The Lord Jesus does not speak to us in that way. The Lord Jesus is compassionate. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in hesed, abounding in love, abounding in this connection as a family. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. He is not going to make us do it all on our own. And so we too need to humbly help. We need to come in and we need to help them lift that burden. We need to help them get rid of some of that weight. But then he goes on, and we need to find out that we need clear boundaries. You're going to need clear boundaries if you're going to move forward. Now, determining those boundaries, navigating that is a very, very tricky thing. But you need clear boundaries. The Word of God says so. He says, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. And so we see the people in our lives, and we see that they're struggling just with life, and we want to help them, we want to equip them, we want to enable them, if we're more honest. We want them to stop having problems, so we have to stop watching it. We want the people around us to stop hurting themselves, so we don't feel the pain of that. And so we enable them, or we guard them, or we shelter them. And we're not doing them any good. In fact, we're harming them because they don't have their own load to carry. Now, these words are different. So it says to bear one another's burdens in verse 2. It says to each man will have to bear his own load in verse 5. That word in verse 2 is baros. Baros, like wheelbarrow, like you're going to carry a heavy load, something like a stack of bricks. And we need to help people. When we see people carrying a stack of bricks on their back, we need to help them to lighten that load. Maybe it's the grace of Jesus Christ. Maybe they're carrying something that they are borrowing shame from something that happened to them. And we need to be able to come and lighten that load. The other word is fortani, fortion. I have a friend who is Greek. He just named his kid Fotini. So I shout out to Chris if he's listening. Fortion. Fortion is really just what is an obligation. We all have obligations as Christians. We all have obligations as people. There is something to taking a shower. There is something to going grocery shopping. There is something to getting dressed in a way that is respectable both to you and to the people around you. There's something to that. Simply an obligation. It's just something that we have on us as representatives of Jesus Christ, and that is what it's talking about in that other verse. So we're going in, we who are taking that responsibility to be studied and to be ready and to be open, we are going to get involved with one. We're going to be able to rightly and responsibly identify what is the extra weight that baros, and we're going to help them take off some of those bricks. But we're not going to take off so much that they don't have this fotion. They don't have this thing that they just have to do. And I know there are people in this room that struggle with that. And I know there are people from front to back that find it so hard to be able to see our children struggle. And we just want to make the pain stop. And what we are not doing is leaving room for God to work in their lives. We're called to be disciple makers. We're called to be disciples that make disciples, mature disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. These are three principles that you can take with you this week as you are going through your day, as you're thinking about how you would study the Word. On Sunday nights, next Sunday morning, we will be speaking about this all through the spring. I want you to be able to grow in confidence in these redemptive conversations because it is adventurous. It is exciting and it is heartbreaking. And sometimes I fail. Sometimes I wish I did things different. But I'm not going to step out of the fight. I'm not going to step out of the mission of the church. Let us pray.